Even good preachers should allow time for listeners to process their sermons. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. That's our key sentence for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, both you and your wife, Karen, are good speakers. Do you ever critique sermons the two of you hear?
It's probably impossible not to, Dean, so I don't do it in a negative way, I don't think. I try not to do it when other people are around. I will tend to throw the discussion to them. What did you think of the sermon? Did the Spirit speak to you? But yes, between my wife and I, we pretty much are in agreement when we hear someone, and I think our comments are mostly positive compared to negative. Recently, we were at a conference, and a speaker was new to us. We had heard people talk about him, that he was very good, and so I was kind of anxious to hear him speak. I would say he was in his middle 30s at the most, maybe a bit younger than that, not in his 20s though. And both of us said to each other as soon as he was done, that was an incredible message. He had humor, he had passion, he was obviously intelligent, he was humble, he just nailed his text. It was absolutely just one of those great mornings. But listen to this, Dean. We heard the sermon on a Sunday morning. On Tuesday night, I remember saying to Karen, that great sermon we heard 2.5 days ago, have you thought about it at all since then? And she said, no. And I said, can you remember what it was about? And all she could come up with was the opening illustration, which is very interesting to me. And if I look back on it, the problem was this. When the sermon was done, which is customary in those kind of conference settings, the speaker sat down and then the agenda went right on to the next item, and there was no time to process what he had said. He hadn't thought through how this was to be processed, and then bang, the whole agenda took over. It's just like you watch something on television and then bang, the next program comes on, and you pretty quickly forget what you just saw unless you turn it off and then think about it. So the world marches on. As far as that sermon was concerned, it was done very well, but at the same time, because bingo, the next thing comes on, I think it was pretty much lost. And on top of that, there were other things that went on that day in terms of the conference. So the response that people had, I think, probably was more momentarily and more saying, boy, I'd like to hear him again. He is a really good speaker. I don't doubt but what the speaker's passion was, a desire to really see change in terms of the lives of the people, but there was an opportunity for change. Because, you know, if nothing else, the speaker could have said, I have purposely gotten done on time because I felt that the Spirit would speak through me, and so I'm giving you 2 minutes of my valuable sermon time, and we're just going to sit here in quiet, and then I'm going to say amen, but I want you to be very sure what the Holy Spirit has said to you so you don't miss it. But the magic moment was over. Basically, we came away saying, that fellow was very good. You know, and I'm sure that's not what he wanted us to say by way of response, because he was too sincere in terms of his preaching. But this is a world that is filled with noise and agendas and all kinds of things that just grab you. And even in terms of a Sunday morning service, as soon as the sermon is done, say you're in a liturgical service, then the next thing we're going to do is to recite the creed. And then the next thing we're going to do is to pass the peace. And, you know, it just moves right on, and the agenda takes over. And I think that's something that fights against the kind of response to preaching that we want to hear. And I think that ministers need to be aware of this.
You raise a very interesting point. I wonder how many pastors think about whether their congregation has the opportunity to process what they've said. In this case, what you're suggesting is that the one preaching could have allotted time within his or her sermon to allow the congregation to process what's been said.
Yeah, and not only what's been said, but what the Holy Spirit is saying through the minister. I have a feeling that a lot of times ministers don't know the gravity of the words that they speak. If you talk about forgiveness, it's almost like we weren't aware that as much sinning was going on through the course of the week as was, and that my words were as appropriate as they were. But you can't just say all the words and then bingo, go on to the next thing. You have to say, what is the response I wanted, and can people respond in that way? So that maybe, I know later in the service, That was a liturgical service. They had a time where there was communion, and it was said, if you need to pray with someone about what you heard in the sermon this morning, there are people at prayer stations you can go to. Now, I don't know, because I was involved in communion myself, I don't know whether people went to those places or not, but I do know when that was said, it was a whole different atmosphere than when that sermon had ended. If it could have been said right at that moment, maybe you need time to pray with someone. And we could do that. There's a room to the side. You could go into the room, and then we'll go on with the service after this. But it hadn't been thought through clearly. The only thing that had been thought through clearly was the sermon. And I think that even if the young man speaking had taken the thing into his own hands and said, I'm going to break precedence here, and we're going to have quiet, and then I'm going to pray for you. So I don't know who I'm praying for. If you'd stand, then I'll at least have a visual. Maybe I've talked and it pertains to no one here, but I don't think that's true. I think the Spirit's speaking to many. So if you want me to pray for you now, stand now. It just hadn't been thought through what he wanted. I'm sure that he didn't want people to say, you are one incredible speaker. That was really great what you said. And you were talking to where I am. He didn't want that praise to go to him, but that's basically what happened at the end of the service, mainly because it hadn't been thought through, how are we putting this whole thing together? I've seen it in planned services, and I've been in these myself, where the Spirit is speaking powerfully through a sermon that I have preached, and then we had scheduled to sing a hymn afterward, and the hymn said exactly what you wanted people to say, but the hymn destroyed what was going on in the service because somehow it wasn't the appropriate thing to have happen there. There are certain sermons that really speak to people's deep needs. And I think silence is a very good way of just giving you silence to be able to process what's been said. I think invitations are very appropriate many times, but not every Sunday. But the question is, what do you want for people to have in order to think through what you have just said? And if you don't make that a part of your whole planning, you're liable in the most innocent of ways to destroy the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think it happens time and again.
The whole idea of being so rigidly attached to an agenda or schedule, which is part of the planning process, completely ignores the possibility that you will need to have that time of silence. You might be able to anticipate that going in, but you might not be able to. And in those cases, you need to have the freedom to be able to do that when you sense the Spirit is speaking to you.
Yeah, in fact, you need to think it through, because you're not a novice at leading services, and you might say, I'm dealing with where people really are living, and I'm going to have to cut my sermon short. But it's the job of the communicator to figure that out prayerfully. And I mean, it's foolishness to pray that the Lord will really speak to hearts. And many times ministers will pray at the beginning, Lord, let it not be my voice, but your voice that is speaking to people. And then that voice of the Lord does speak deeply to people's hearts, especially in matters that relate to things they have done through the week that they never should have done. People come, they come looking good on the outside, but on the inside, a lot of what's going on in people's lives is not real good. And I know that because of how I live. I've come to church many times, and I kind of wish I hadn't gone to church because I'm feeling guilty about something I said or something I did. That's common for people. Sometimes people don't go to church because they don't want to be there because they feel guilty about what's gone on through the week. I've seen that happen many, many times. But just to preach a sermon and then say, okay, I've preached it, now what's next? You can't do that. You have to say the words are powerful because the Holy Spirit takes over and uses them. Now give people opportunity to process in the best manner possible and think that through, even like you're thinking your sermon through. Because I think, again, it's a common practice within the ministry to say, okay, once I've said the last word, then it's over. No, that's not over, because that's just when the Holy Spirit is beginning to be really active. So you're wanting to say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to finish this off? How do I get out of the way so you can do your work? I think I said it there very well. How do I set the thing up for when you begin to be active? And my feeling is that through the church in North America, we're not praying that prayer and we're not thinking that through and getting the guidance of the Holy Spirit the way we need to.
Even good preachers should allow time for listeners to process their sermon. We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to look through the resources we have available on our website. We've placed them there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.